and throughout the world must likewise educate the masses of the workers and the people in general to the new and more sophisticated fascist ways in which the same old game is now being played. Nor is the war fever confined to Africa. While former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, no dove was he, candidly admits that it is an absolute absurdity to say that the Soviet Union is stronger than we are. A frantic scramble to shore up Western military power in Europe is now underway. Kissinger admits that it is a lie, that it is the Soviet Union that is causing the trouble in Africa. And he said the policies of Carter are maniacal, frenzied, and will bring nuclear war. NATO countries meeting in Washington are being pressured to commit $80 billion more than they presently spend to new military appropriations for U.S. aggressive fascist imperialism. A similar push for greater military expenditures is underway in the USA. How can this be justified to the masses of workers in these already inflation-ridden countries? How can it, when there is gross unemployment, the cost of living is even too high for the middle class in the United States, many of whose economies are extremely shaky? How can the workers in these countries be called upon to bear the brunt of such expenditures in new taxes and reduced social services? In the closing part of this commentary for today, the answer is simple. The Soviet-Cuban threat, the recipe is so familiar. It's a wonder that bourgeoisie propagandists are not bored by their own cliches and lies. You start with a massive dose of national security, spiced liberally with concern over human rights, when there are no human rights for blacks and Indians who are in death row by the thousands now waiting to be hung or gassed in USA. And then a garnish with a slew of atrocity stories that never happen. The desired result, a war fever that will permit enhanced military expenditures, a freer hand for a revived imperial presidency in USA to use both direct military force and authorize clandestine or secret operations in the world's trouble spots where people are trying to break out of the shackles of poverty and starvation and be free, and the basis for a combined political and economic crackdown of a fascist nature in USA. Nor should we ignore the fact that, in part at least, the current hysteria also has an immediate political purpose in this election year. Despite the undeniable peace sentiment of the U.S. masses, the most urgent threat to the Carter administration comes from the right wing. By reviving the Cold War and trying to outdo the hawkish, diehard fascists at their own game, Carter hopes to outflank an increasingly ominous right-wing resurgence that could lead to a Nazi takeover both in this year's congressional elections and by way of preparation for his incumbent candidacy in 1980. Yet the desire for peace is real and widespread. Public opinion polls shows that mass sentiment favors a new agreement on the limitation of strategic arms with the Soviet Union, because more and more in the USA are becoming aware of the inevitability, the certainty of nuclear war. Public opinion poll supports detente, peace, and opposes the development of the neutron bomb. The mass rally of 15,000 people in the opening of the United Nations special sessions on disarmament reflects the genuine concern that exists over the dangers of nuclear war. In spite of this public outrage, the media and the government is well entrenched by the right-wing military, and there is no likelihood that there will be any change other than a Nazi fascist takeover in USA. There are obvious limitations built into demands for detente, peace, disarmament, and superpower arrangements to curtail production of strategic weapons. No agreement between heavily armed great powers can amend the realities of superpower contention or inter-imperialist rivalry. Nor is weaponry the cause of war. The inexorable source of war rests in imperialism's insatiable drive for profit and expansion, and it is USA that is imperialist, not the Soviet Union. A drive that cannot be legislated away or be anything but momentarily delayed by political arrangements which ultimately reflect only the real balance of power in the world. All movements for peace which do not take these factors into account tend to foster illusions on how war is to be overcome. The movement for peace then must become a movement against U.S. imperialism if it is to be true to its own stated goals. And there is the contradiction in all reformist and revisionist pacifist movements which fail to go beyond such questions as disarmament, nuclear testings, detente, peace, rather, and the like. For the struggle against U.S. imperialism is a struggle which ultimately is obliged to take up arms, as the peoples of Indochina did, as the people of Angola, Mozambique, and Guinea-Bissau did, and as other peoples fighting for their liberation in southern Africa are now doing, and in the Middle East and Latin America, in Peru and Colombia, are doing this very afternoon. Nevertheless, such actions as the disarmament rally have an importance that supersedes the conscious political motivations of its organizers and participants. And they should realize that it will take armed struggle, as nearly all of those protesting were arrested. To the extent that they target the U.S. government and its allies as the principal enemy of the world's peoples, whose own social systems tend inevitably toward aggressive war, these actions have an implicit anti-U.S. imperialist content. In any event, conscious anti-imperialists should join in these efforts and bring to them a more explicit anti-imperialist content. The current beating of the war drums by Carter, who is becoming a willing puppet of the bilateral and trilateral commission, his administration should sound an urgent warning for the U.S. working class, the oppressed nationalities, and for the left, which is vastly being endangered by a fascist dictatorship takeover in the United States. Among other things, U.S. imperialism is testing the waters at home. It is trying to see whether the popular verdicts rendered after Vietnam and Watergate can be reversed. It is trying to restore to its chief executive the legal options of imperial presidency that John F. Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, and Richard Nixon all employed to initiate and extend the imperialist Vietnam War and to intervene elsewhere aggressively in the Third World. The most recent escalations are stepping up, are dangerous, and if left unchallenged, will lead to even more dangerous provocative actions elsewhere. A massive response is called for U.S. military adventures in Africa are becoming a distinct possibility. And a Third World War is closer than anyone is likely to admit or wants to admit, said this writer, writing for a moderate left paper that has been critical in the past of the Soviet Union and pro-China. Thank you. Thus ends the reading of the news, giving of the news, which I gave you entirely from mine, and commentary. Get this again repeated in the library, and please review Revisionism, the study world thought, and the world struggle, and news closely so we can be informed. Without information, we can't be sensitive and loyal to one another and loyal to Guyana and help to defeat the fascist threat against the Third World. Thank you. Of the homosexual news that should be put down in the bond. If you do not believe by now that fascism is attempting an overt takeover of the United States and an elimination of the black community, you can now believe it. The lone senator in the Senate, Senator Brooke, not even especially well known for his support of black people's demands. Remember, just recently he said he would have to decline support of African liberation policies and the demands of blacks for jobs and opposition to Senate Bill 1437 because he was in a precarious situation with his own election. He has just been charged by the Senate Ethics Committee. He is being considered for a criminal indictment. He will be brought before the Senate Ethics Committee. Same kind of charges against him as were given the charges that were made against Representative Charles Diggs, Democrat Michigan, now Senator Edward Brooke, Republican Massachusetts, will face difficult re-election this year because of charges of fraudulent felony financial dealings. Senator Brooke is the first only black senator, rather, since 1880. He has held the post since 1966, after he was Massachusetts Attorney General. Further indications of this horrible racism, genocide, is that Representative Barbara Jordan, who nominated the president to be president of the United States at the Democratic Convention, has announced that she cannot run again as she's under smear attacks, and that the racist climate, she could not win in spite of the fact that she's in a strong black district. Barbara Walker, most prominent black congresswoman, will not be able to run again. An excellent example of racism is that President Carter has not replaced Andrew Young, black sellout Uncle Tom, UN ambassador, has not refilled his seat, and it's not been filled by a black representative, and it's going to be filled by a white representative, Carter announces, that it will be filled by a white representative. So if you don't believe racism is with us, then you're not thinking. If you don't believe it's hopeless in USA, you're not wanting to know the truth. Furthermore, I want to tell you again, Bert Schneider, filmmaker, has compromised through conspiracy Huey Newton and got him involved in a homosexual relation. He's in deep drug problems. He's a total alcoholic. And Bert Schneider threatens to take it to the press, according to our informants, Charles Gary, who's very protective of Huey. He threatens to take it to the press if Huey doesn't do exactly what he dictates to, Gary said, and Pat Richards, another esteemed person in the investigatory field, said that he is a actual slave to Bert Schneider, filmmaker, because of this homosexual relationship that he's gotten into. Furthermore, the one that's coming here that wrote Parallax View, Don Friedman, is it? Has some sensitivity, we think we'll bring him because he's adopted a black child, Vietnamese black child. He's a homosexual, and that he certainly ought to be able to write with more depth because of our tolerance to all people and their lifestyle. He has in his own office the lone surviving witness to Martin Luther King's assassination, and her story is so hot that it will probably get her killed, showing government involvement at every level with the murder of Dr. King. Also, the press smears, we don't get enough reports of this type of thing. The press smears and attacks are heavy against Mark Lane, who brought out Rush to Judgment and possible criminal proceedings. Larry Flint is under criminal proceedings and been shot, paralyzed, because he brought out in his last issue before the Los Angeles Free Press was caused to be closed. He brought out the documentation of government involvement with the murder of President Kennedy and Senator Kennedy. Moreover, the CIA top official that wrote, what's the name of that book? Decent Interval, showing the CIA murders, cloak and dagger operations by our tax dollars, has been criminally indicted. So this is a little bit of the news that needs to be brought to light. He faces several felony counts, newspaper smears, and frame-ups. We got out of there just in time, and we've got to get our people out. So think of every damn way you can to save money and step up your work and to make money, because it's coming down fast now. When Senator Brooke, as conservative as he is, two senior members of the Congressional Black Caucus. And as Senator Brooke, as I said, is one of the most conservative, and even Diggs, a 23-year veteran of the Congress, pleaded innocent to all the charges, and I mean they're charging him with everything: mail fraud, 37 financial irregularity felony counts. And Senator Brooke was about to try for his third term. Diggs had been 23 years, an establishment man, owned several funeral parlors and a minister. He was a religious minister. And believe me, there's no safety. San Francisco students, black students, have had to be pulled out of the schools because of the discrimination. Even the black ministers are setting up schools in their churches. It's gotten that bad. When you get those Uncle Tom jack legs to do anything, it has to be bad. And the part of the protest is over the firing of all black principals, supervisors, superintendents, and teachers. Maybe now they'll regret cooperating with the white establishment to try to destroy us. They probably wish we were back home right now. They're so low down with Senator Edward Brooks, who is nothing. He's a nobody. That's why you ought to know we would be all slated, our children, for genocide, for murder. They're even bringing out for criminal charges a statement that he made in his divorce proceeding and charging him with perjury, giving it to his opposition white candidate, and going to proceed criminally against him because of something he's supposed to have said that wasn't accurate about his wife. Well, goddammit, nobody ever tells in a divorce settlement anything accurate about each other. That shows you how much racist frame up there is in USA. Attention. We have the movie, you know, the movies, the regular movies. I don't know whether the Italian connection you've seen or those that have not seen about the German concentration camps. I don't know if anyone hasn't seen me here. Otherwise, we'll have something on the television, which I'll announce in just a little bit. I want to give you this bit of news. Muhammad Ali apparently is beginning to see, though he's schizophrenic as hell. He's had a number of problems of late and pressures, and Muhammad Ali had been invited and already gone and came back praising the Soviet Union and the Soviet system. He said he wants to tell Carter all about the system of justice, which gives free medical care, education, and accommodations to all without regard of race or religion. He plans to tell his fellow Americans that the Soviet Union wants peace and want to live in harmony with all people. He said all races and religions and colors live there in perfect harmony. This is front page on the Guyana Chronicle today, the same paper that praised us and our work. Obviously, Guyana is moving distinctly to the sharp left, which makes us all feel happy. And they've used Muhammad Ali. That may be one of his 80 faces of Eve speaking. He may want to forget it when he gets home, but I bet you his ass will never forget that statement, because they'll nail him to the cross for praising the Soviet system. They may not get him when he gets home, but they'll get him in a matter of days or weeks. Furthermore, the Guyana Chronicle said, a press conference of Dr. Fidel Castro with three major networks simultaneously due to the grave crisis and likelihood of nuclear war over Zaire. Questioning about his Zaire decision. He said, allegations by the CIA that they trained troops, that Cuba trained troops in the Shaba province, that should be rightfully called the Katanga province, that was taken away by U.S. imperialism, by its own people, the Katangans, and they were driven out, forced to live in exile, and as poor refugees in concentration camp environments almost. He said that there were lies, Castro said. He had not trained any of the contingency force of those that were rebelling against the unjust Zaire system. He countercharged that the CIA is giving aid to UNITA, the fascist movement in Angola, to overthrow the duly elected administration of Socialist Angola. He also said CIA activities, this is on the Guyana Chronicle again, are being employed against him, as well as the suggestion is towards Guyana. Castro, I can't quite make this out. Castro stressed his continued high regard for Secretary of State Vance. He's trying to get some peace before hell breaks loose, and a confidence that Carter does not really is being forced by the war hawks to this kind of position, and he also praised Andrew Young. He squarely blames security advisor Brzezinski, who is the most powerful, who obviously is the chief spokesperson for the Trilateral Commission, obviously, and he always has been a war hawk, and he's a chief advisor to Carter. He blamed Brzezinski for the terrible advice to the President of the United States. He said Brzezinski has a policy of Cold War and international terrorism and tension. He was in favor of releasing 4 U.S. prisoners that the Carter administration wants him to release, provided the USA will release the Puerto Ricans that they've been holding, the Puerto Rican nationalists that they've been holding ever since President Truman was president over nearly 30 years ago. He said they're political prisoners. USA is always talking about human rights and political prisoners, but there are several Puerto Ricans that have been held as political prisoners since 1952. He made it clear, Castro did, that he would not make any compromise in reference to his commitment to Africa. Particularly the possibility of using troops in Rhodesia or Eritrea. He said that he would not make any commitments in reference to future actions in Africa. That was his prerogative. He was happy with what he had done in the past, and that if the security of Rhodesia or Zimbabwe is threatened, or Ethiopia or Angola, he reserves the right to continue his support of liberation efforts and to employ Cuban aid and troops if necessary. Very bad time. No wonder Dr. Mingro, Minister of Home Affairs of Guyana and Minister of Immigration, says that we'll have nuclear war this year over Africa. That's his opinion.